Amen, amen. A cowboy preacher rides into Whoville, a rough and tough town known for whiskey drinking and cigar smoking. They had three saloons, but no churches. The preacher this particular Sunday morning, he began to build a makeshift pulpit. This town was known for on Saturday nights, you could have all the beer you could drink as long as you drink it out of boxing gloves. And that was just the women. The men would often engage in gunfights. So any given Sunday, it was nothing to find a couple of bodies in the streets. So the preacher begins to build this makeshift pulpit and people begin to gather around. He looked out at the crowd and he asked, "What do y'all want to hear?" About that time, one of those drunk cowboys walked up to the back of the crowd and heard the preacher's question, and he yelled out from the back of the crowd, "Nothing." The crowd looked at the preacher. The preacher looked at the drunk cowboy. The drunk cowboy looked at the preacher, and the preacher said, "In the beginning, there was nothing. God created everything. Ex nihilo. And that means out of nothing. God gave man everything and they wanted for nothing. They sinned and failed, lost everything and ended up with nothing. God sent his only begotten son. He may pay the price, and we owe nothing. What can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Nothing." I want to start where that country preacher, that cowboy preacher, let off. And I want to start with the case file found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. A case of nothing. Romans 8, beginning at verse 35, by the inspiration of God and by the pen of Paul, these words are recorded. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." We ask a blessing upon the reading of God's word, that it may serve as food for our souls. A case of nothing. In this passage, Paul asks a question. What can separate us from the love of God? The easy answer and the quick answer is to say nothing. However, Paul provides us with a list that all of us will have to face. The list is called calamities. We all have to face the calamities gang. It's seven of them in the calamities. The smallest is tribulation. His big brother is distress. His older brother is persecution. His middle brother is famine, nakedness, peril. And the oldest is sword. Each bigger and stronger than the one before. And Paul says, shall they separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? We trouble and peril and distress. We have to face up with problems in this life. Paul suggests tribulations is the least of them. The troubles that we have that just come with living, that just come with being alive, the trouble that just come. But then there's some trouble that we cause on ourselves, and that's called distress. That those times when we didn't listen, that times we went foolish rather than wise, those times when we did our own thing rather than trying to do the right thing. Paul says, shall these things separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, all of them make up the calamities gang. And Paul reminds us that we have to face up to them in the streets of Whoville. Here in this passage, Paul lists seven, and six of them he had already experienced. He had experienced being a disciple, a follower, an apostle of God. He has experienced tribulation. He experienced distress, persecution, experienced famine and nakedness, peril and sword. He had experienced them all. And yet Paul could declare, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But when you look back at the question, it's somewhat interesting. It's an interrogative pronoun translated what? In English, we have five interrogative pronouns. In the Greek, they had one, tis. But in English, if you ask the question, what place, we know the interrogative pronoun is where. If you ask the question, what time, the interrogative pronoun is when. If you ask the interrogative reason, the interrogative pronoun is why. If you ask what person, the interrogative pronoun is, okay, it works better if y'all stay along with me. So translated as who, then you gotta look for the person. Paul says, who shall separate us? Then he gives us a list of calamities, but then in verse 38, Paul says, for I am persuaded. Who is the who in Whoville can separate you from the love of Christ? It's not Mayor Who. It's not Governor Who. It's not Cowboy Who. Who in Whoville who can separate you from the love of Christ that is in, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? The only who that can separate you is you who. You are the only who can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You're the only one that can stand in your own way. You're the only one. Isn't it you who that knows all your secrets? It's you who that knows all your background. It's you who knows what you did last night. It's you who know what you drank. You-hoo, that know, and he keeps us. Keep bringing up our past. Keep bringing up our misdeeds. Keep, you-hoo is the only one who tried to stop us and prevent us and keep us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But Paul said, I am persuaded. I am convinced. You can't change my mind about this. I am persuaded. I am convinced. I've already made up my mind. I'm going with the Lord all the way. I don't care what they discover now. I'm going with the Lord all the way. And I'm not going to let you or you who stand in my way. I am persuaded. I am convinced that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. But Paul gives a second list. After you face the list of calamities, Paul gives a second list in verse 38. It's a list of extremities. Calamities is her game, and extremities is his game. He gives a list of extremes. Death or life. Angels nor principalities or powers. Things present or things to come. Neither height or depth. Paul gives this list of extremes because it's in the extremes that can hinder our growth. Death in life. Death can sure get in the way. Thinking about it, planning for it, the eventuality is coming, and so you have to worry about it. There was a young couple, lost their child. The preacher came, a new preacher came to church and decided that he was going to visit everyone in the membership. It was a small fellowship, so he figured about 6 months he would visit everyone in their homes. He get through the list rather quickly, rather smoothly, get to the end of the list, and he finds that couple. Secretary told him, Pastor, don't worry about it. They haven't been to church in 3 years. They lost their child. And we just don't bother with them. If they want to come, we're here for them. He said, well, I'm going to go visit with them. He goes and visit with them. The wife meets him at the door, let him in, was friendly enough, gives him a cup of water, and he drinks. By that time, the husband comes home. Have pleasantries. They sit down and begin to talk. Preacher began to tell them about all the things they had at the church, all the ministries, and would love for them to come and be a part of what the church is doing. The couple, the husband, said, Pastor, we like the church, but when our two-year-old died, and at the funeral, all the members kept telling us that we had to accept the will of God. And we just have a problem accepting that God will 2-year-old's death. The pastor was sitting there thinking, how do we deal with it? How do we touch it? He said, well, let me just say it like this. Everything happens in the will of God. But God does not go around wanting and desiring the death of anyone. In fact, he created us with eternal life. Sin messed that up. God created a place that we can live eternally, but we have to go through death in order to get there. He said, I'm simply not blaming God. The husband said, so you're blaming us. You're saying it's our fault. It's something I did, something we did. He said, no, I'm not saying it's on you. What I'm saying is simply don't blame God. Come back to the church. Let the church love on you. Let the church try to heal you. Let the church walk with you through this. And perhaps we all can get closer to God. Young couple came to the church and started a grief ministry. Grief ministry began to grow that they had contact with funeral homes. And any time a child died in the city, that couple were contacted and was able to reach out to whoever the parents were and minister unto them. For 3 years, their growth stopped because of death. For 3 years, their involvement stopped because of death. Death can get in the way. But life can too, can it? I mean, when you're young, you're trying to get your grind on. You're trying to put in 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You're trying to keep your nickels together. You got small children. You're trying to bring them up. And they always got to eat. I mean, I had girls, and they had to eat 3 meals a day every day. Yeah, like, life can sure get in the way. But Paul says neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He gives a list. He says angels or principalities. Angels are those that love you, that are cut for you. You know, I got some people on my phone that I can call right now. And if I told them somebody at Ebenezer messed me up, they'll come and see about that. And they ain't got no, I've been trying to get Christ in them. I've been working hard. I done tried everything to get Christ in them. But if anything happened to me, they'll cut for me. I don't have to cut. They'll do it. Ain't, so I can't, I gotta be careful what I tell them, you know. Okay. They tell them everything. You can't tell them angels everything because they love you. And they're there for you, not your husband, not your wife, not your children. They love you and want to do everything what's best for you. Even keep a grudge alive if possible. But your haters can stand in the way too, can't they? They can set traps for you, dig ditches for you, always calling you out of your name, pointing out your flaws. Angels nor principalities can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nor height or depth, no matter how high you go or how low you find yourself, no matter, you can have money in all 4 pockets. Or you can be broke down to your last dime. Neither height nor depth. No matter our victories or our defeats. No matter our success stories or those times when we fail. None of these things can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Paul wanted to let us know this morning that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And if you keep living this life, one day you'll hear the thunder roll and feel some breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me to still fight on. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. And the reason why there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God is not because of what I do. It's not because of my prayer life. It's not because of my giving. It's not because of my teaching. It's not because of my preaching. It's not because of my living. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, because he promised never to leave us. Never to leave us alone, regardless of the weather, regardless of the season, regardless of the problem, regardless of the heartache, regardless of the pain, regardless of the graduation, regardless of the birthday. He promised never to leave us. Never to leave us alone. No, never. And so I can walk through this life with the confidence that I'm never separated from him. He is always with me. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. May God bless you and keep you. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. You have to accept as the deacons and the ushers come. He made that promise to each and every one of us. And it's not based on your resume. It's not based on your deeds. based on his love for you. He loves you and wants a relationship with you. Will you come?
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you.
Will you come? Will you come?
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.
Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.
Yes, yes, I love you.
I worship and adore you. Just want.
Let's show some love to the voices of praise this morning. Amen. And we definitely want to thank our guest musician today. Amen. We want Brother Moshe to know that we love him and expect him back on Sunday. Be back here as soon as you can, but we're grateful to each and every one of you for coming and sharing with us this, this Denim Day, experience with us at Ebenezer. We pray that something was said or something was done that has strengthened you in your Christian walk. If there's nothing else and our hearts are clear, then we're ready to go. Let us stand to be dismissed.